All right, Monday morning, the Audible's on the air. Something to smile about today, John.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had a Victory Monday around here, you know?
That's right. It was fun last night, even talking about the game to family and friends and being able to feel like you could stick your chest out a little bit and say, hey, we won a football game.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of weeks I've gone, get done from the game, or when the last couple of games we've had, 1 o'clock games at home, where I've gone to some place and go to this little Italian restaurant, have something to eat, and you walk in and people are like, look, I don't want to talk about the game.
Leave
I don't
me
want to
alone.
Tell you. So we walk in last night. And the place was almost empty. I'm going, where's everyone at? I want to talk about the game.
Yeah, nobody to talk to.
I had no one to talk to.
Bring the chef out. I want
but eventually
to talk to
they came. Eventually
the
they came. Eventually they started rolling in. So and everyone was happy. So it was a good thing. But John, it was one of those games that the Dolphins sorely needed a game like that. And I think the good thing about it, John, when you look at it, every aspect of that football team can be excited about some of the things they did. Offensively, they had 3 touchdown passes. Two touchdown passes. Kenyon Drake runs one in for the touchdown. So offensively, you can feel good about that. Kenyon Drake, 120 yards rushing on 23 carries. I think that was certainly a good thing. And it defensively, man, I tell you what, you talk about a game where they handed field position to that Dolphin offense.
Absolutely.
I mean, all game long, the Dolphins were starting at or near midfield or on Denver's side of the football, and Denver's side of the field. And that certainly helped. And then, like I said, then special teams, you got a safety on special teams, you blocked a punt, you had some good punt returns, you had a lot of good things going, onside kick that worked. So a lot of good things working on every aspect of the game. And I think that's important for this team, John, going into the game Monday night against the New England Patriots. You know, you had a chance up there to do some better things than you did. You lose up there 35-17 a couple weeks ago. And now you get them in your backyard coming off a game where you've got something to feel good about, and you got a little confidence going into this game now, as opposed to where you were 2 weeks ago.
Well, I think you're right about all three phases. You scored points every way you can. You know, offensively, you got the job done. You took advantage of field position for the majority of the game. I still think there was a lot of points and a lot of opportunities left on the field with the defense and special teams provided. But saying that, you're able to find the end zone and have success offensively, running the football and throwing it. Defensively, you get a pick six, you know, your first for Xavier Howard. Yep. He's able to do those things. You get some sacks. You get pressure on the quarterback. And then in special teams, and you get two safeties. And then in special teams, you're able to find a way to block a punt. You're able to get Grant loose, plus 25-yard punt returns, which has been a position, quite frankly, that's been non-existent. Yep. You know, you really don't need a returner in this day's NFL, in my opinion. You just need somebody to secure punts.
Yep.
But he was able to change field position as well with special teams. So I think a lot of good things happened for the Miami Dolphins. Yes, there were some things that are still left out on the football field, but Jay Cutler was able to find some explosive plays, finding Kenny Stills, you know, finding a back shoulder fade to Thomas to get things going. Defensive turnovers, then you talked about special teams and field position. All important things when you talk about defeating the guy that's on top, the team that's on top, and that's the New England Patriots. You need all three phases. Yep. One falls asleep, it seems like good teams take advantage. So you need all those things to come together.
No doubt. This is the Audible presented by Sirius XM. I want to keep them in the loop here. Look at Trey giving me the bad look there because I stumbling, trying to throw the wrong name out there. Trey gave me the evil eye in there.
Did he give you the
evil eye.
Well, you know what? Leon's not here to do it. Leon
would have had a sign up there. Sirius XM, Kim. You know what it is. Sirius XM.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Trey waits till you stumble. Then he beats you while you're down.
He pounces on you.
No doubt about it. All right, John. So it's the other thing to look at. Some games of guys stepping up. Cameron Malvo got a chance to play. He was just moved up to the 53-man roster on Saturday. He played and did some pretty good things. Jordan Phillips, played a really good game, did a lot of good things out there, was disruptive, was in the backfield, had a sack, caused some other problems for you out there. So he played well. We talk about Kenyon Drake getting those carries. And let's talk a little bit about Kenyon Kenyon Drake in the day that he had. And, you know, I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks when it comes to Kenyon Drake is, you know, he can break that big run. We've seen him break big runs. We've seen him do that, but he struggled on those other downs, the downs where you need to get 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards. And I thought he did a good job of being an all around back yesterday, of grinding out the tough yards. He got hit at the line of scrimmage and still was able to kind of power his way to a few yards to give you a 2-3-4 yard gain. And then when he had the opportunity, hit the home run ball for you too, when he's able to. But to me, these plays like this, where you pick up these 4-5 yards, 6-7 yards there, you know, those are what really sets it up for a running back to hit those big plays. And if you can't get past the line of scrimmage, your chance of making a play like this, it just don't exist.
Well, I like the way, as you said, he pressed the hole. He was able just to get his body and his shoulders going north and south. And if there was 3 yards, there was 3 yards. And he took a lot of shots early in the game. And not only did he run the football effectively, but it gives you that threat of, once he's able to use that patience and vision, he's able to use that speed. And that's the next gear, of being able to get in a hole and make somebody miss in that hole and find the back end of it. I think Kenyon Drake is really talented at doing that. And I'm not so sure that Adam Gase is ever going to have a feature back. He's ever going to have that one guy that's going to do everything for him. But I know that he likes all the attributes that Kenyon Drake brings to the table. He's fast. He's elusive. He's able to be tough when he needs to be tough. Now, this is 1 week. Now, this is, NFL is a long process. And you're going to need Damian Williams or guys like that to be able to spell you and be able to come in and give you a different look. But Kenyon Drake showed me one thing yesterday, is that when he's able to get to the second level, he's leaving. He's leaving. No one's going to catch him. And I liked his toughness. I didn't know he had that part of his game. Being able to, you know, run 2 or 3 times, Bo, where you get 2 or 3 yards and some guys get frustrated. They start making those U-turn runs. Kenyon Drake stayed pretty much on track the entire game. And credit the offensive line. They did a pretty good job of knowing that where he was going to be. And when he was patient enough and he pressed it enough, he was able to come out of the back end for that 42-yard touchdown.
Yeah, the most carries he's had in the National Football League in one game. And I think giving him those carries, you know, we were talking about a little bit yesterday after the game, and, you know, there are a lot of guys out there. I look at Tankersley. I look at Xavien Howard. I look at Tunsil. I look at the guys like Gottschall. I look at Vincent Taylor. I look at all those guys, the young guys, the first-year, second-year guys that are getting out there and getting a lot of playing time, sometimes playing well, sometimes playing not so well. But it's all the kind of experience that you need to get if you're going to get better the next year down the road, and better yet, the next year down the road. And I think you look at this team right now, and certainly there's been struggles this year, but you see a lot of youth on this football team that are getting so much valuable work in there, blending with the veteran players, that those guys are going to be so far ahead next year than they were this year because of those snaps in game situations. You know, even Chase Allen, you look at all the snaps that Chase Allen's getting back. And here's a guy that, you know, going into the season, probably wasn't expecting to do anything more than run down on kickoffs and cover punts and do those types of things. Now he's getting some, you know, now he's getting on the job training in regular season games, not preseason games when they're not game planning, real situations, real games where you learn to play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And all those things to me are invaluable to each one of those individuals, as well as the Dolphins as a team and whole.
Well, look at Charles Harris. He's getting those reps on the corner. Jesse Davis, guy like you never expected maybe even to contribute this year. These are guys that might be and should be names on a Miami Dolphin team you should expect to see the next 4 or 5 years. Because I think both of those guys, the upside is enormous, especially for Davis. I think Harris is going to get better at being a pro and learning from guys like Andre Branch and Cam Wake. But when you have a guy like Jesse Davis that has the size and the length and can play multiple positions, he's a value. He's a guy that every offensive line coach in National Football League is looking for. Who can play your core position and be able to be your swing guy? You know, if he's a starter at right guard, but somebody goes down, he can kick him out to tackle and not feel bad about it, you know, about messing his train of thought and his keys and his angles up. I think you found a pretty good football player this year that you might not have known in the beginning of the season.
I mean, you look at him, he reminds me, I go back all the way back to Jeff Dellenbach. When Dellenbach was here, because he's a guy that could play every position on that offensive line, was invaluable for the Dolphins, and played every position well. You knew you could put him in there and you were going to get a quality play. play from Jeff, and I think you're starting to see that now on the offensive line there. But and for Jeff, you know, he ended up getting a nice payday
The
Green Bay Packers out of it. So I think Jesse Davis really, I agree with you. He's showing his ability to do it, and look, quick change too. I mean,
you never know.
You never know,
right? Not this year.
No, yeah. So I think I like what he said. But so I think all those young guys that you and I just spoke about, the amount of play they're getting is just both to themselves and to the football team.
Even
invaluable.
Jake Brendel went in, you know, yesterday when Mike Pouncey came out. There's another guy that you know, you kick him out to guard, play him at center. You're thinking about the future of this team. You're looking at salary cap issues, and you're looking at all these things. How many guys can wear multiple caps on that offensive line and still you don't really expose your football team? And I think both those guys are trying to, you know, say, state their case and their name to say, you can count on me. You know, you can count on me to do multiple things if needed.
No doubt about it. You're listening to The Audible, presented by SiriusXM. Kim Bocamber, John Congemi with you. Let's go ahead and get to some questions here. Facebook, Christopher Dunkley, thoughts on the onside kick while up late in the game? I know that was a topic of conversation yesterday. Adam addressed it by saying, hey, we play 60 minutes. He addressed it today in his press conference, saying that, hey, look, you know, we're going to play. We're sending a message to our guys that I don't care if we're up or whatever. We're going to play the game and play it the way we want to play it. I also, in my mind, I think this may be a little bit of a something for New England to look at. Hey, look, they had a great special teams game this week. Certainly, the last time they went up to New England a couple weeks ago, the fake punt is something I'm sure is still, you know, got a thorn in their side, something stick, you know, kind of sticking in their craw. And so I don't know that this may not have been a message to them. Hey, get your special teams ready, because if you think you can do it to us, we got a little something for you too. Well, and so you never know what you know. That's my opinion. You never know what's going through a coach's mind and why he does things. But I can tell you this: there's always a reason why they do something. They just don't kind of roll the dice out there and say, let me try this here at this point. Something was meant to be said with that play at that moment.
And I think you have an angle when you take a look at what lies ahead. Bill Belichick, you never would have thought the New England Patriots, for as good as they are and as consistent as they are, you go three and out in the opening series deep in your own end. Yep. Why give the Dolphins an opportunity to get a lead or at least get field position and get potential points to go up in a game that the Dolphins haven't been up in a game in a long, long time. You know, yesterday was a rare exception, and then they were down 3-2.
Yeah.
So I think that there was a reason why the New England Patriots did it a couple weeks ago to the Miami Dolphins, and there was a reason why Adam Gase did it to the Denver Broncos. We read a few articles today about, you know, potentially doing something, you know, because of what had happened in the past in Denver. I kind of agree with this team. All options are on the table at any point in the game. And you're trying to get the attention of your team and maybe the attention of the New England Patriots, say, we better spend some time on this. We better take a look at you know, fake punt. We better take a look at, you know, other options on reverses, because I just think the Dolphins have to throw that out there and make teams spend some time on something that's not their core business.
Not that they don't do it each and every week, but I guarantee you both of these teams this week or spending some extra time running different things in special
meetings,
or going out on the football field, running, whether it's a fake kick, whether it's a, you know, whether you're throwing a pass out of punt formation, well, whatever. I think they're going over every different thing, because there've been a lot of stuff out on the table over the last couple weeks between these two football teams that are getting ready to play each other. And anything they see, you know, they're going to go to the nth degree to discuss it, to plan for it, to prepare for it, and have their football team ready to go.
And I think on Monday night, the Dolphins are going to give you their best effort. Whatever that is, whatever they can muster up to be as successful as they were scoring points against a team that's lost now 8 in a row in the Denver Broncos, they're going to have to do that against a 10-win team in the New England Patriots.
Yep.
You know, this is a team that has won 10 games, I think, 15 times in the last whatever years. You know, it's unbelievable the run that the Patriots are on, but the Miami Dolphins are going to get, they're going to give them their best shot.
Yeah.
And it comes on a Monday night that should be electric, and you know, get the throwback uniforms. You get a lot of electricity in the air in South Florida at Hard Rock Stadium. So you're hoping that whatever we have tricks in the bag in terms of offense, defense, special teams, that's a game that can propel you over the next 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's funny because there's some notes I had, and I want to ask you about some. I put notes down to ask for after the game, and then some stuff got you know, we didn't became irrelevant. But there was one play early in the game, John. Cutler rolls out to his right, goes all the way back across field and hits Fasano
yeah.
for a pretty good game. I think it was about a 29-yard gain.
Yeah, it was.
Somewhere in that ballpark. And I wanted to ask Cutler, was that a designed play, or did you just happen to see Fasano become wide open over there
and
throw the football?
I got a chance to watch it in the booth, and it was a designed play. Yeah. Fasano starts on the right side of the line of scrimmage, and he actually blocks and crawls along the defensive front of the line of scrimmage, just behind, in between the linebackers. And then he just kind of leaks out, and you lose him.
Yeah.
You absolutely lose him. So it was definitely a designed play, and it was nice to see a play that hasn't been run, you know, and that's another thing that the New England Patriots have to prepare for, you know, whether that's a red zone play that was run in the middle of the field, you know, the play goes for 29 yards and the Dolphins had the ball on the 48 yard line to your point earlier about field position. Yep. So I think that, you know, you can run this in the red zone, you can run it in the middle of the field. And I just think it gives another option for Patricia, the defense coordinator, to kind of look at and say they can run this anywhere on the field.
And you look at that play, Jay did a really good job of selling it to the right side.
He did, with his eyes,
and then came back and went the other way. So, yeah, it was nice to see. But a lot of good stuff yesterday. But, John, the special teams, I tell you, you know, you talk about safety, an onside kick, a block punt returns, all those things. Boy, it just shows you what special teams can do to help you win a football game. And they really did everything you could do to help this football team pick up a win on against Denver yesterday.
When you're struggling offensively, like the Miami Dolphins have this season, any added field position or points or being able to tee up a team on the 30-yard line or 40-yard line, that takes away first down opportunities that you have to grind out. You know, you get one explosive play and you're in the red zone. At least you've got an opportunity to score points with a field goal chance. So you're right. Special teams give you that boost. How many times as a player you're on the sidelines and you're, you know, waiting to go out on the field or you're, you know, listening, you hear a thump.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, is that for us or you know, against us? Because if it's your punt team out there, you don't want to hear it. But if it's punt block, you're excited about it. You know, you're coming off the field or you're part of it and you hear that thump and you feel excited about, you know, we just did something really good, and the crowd gets into it. It immediately gives juice to your sideline.
No,
so I think special teams, whether it's a kick return, a block, any type of play, kind of ignites your team the way a long pass or a long run does.
The other thing is, you know, is if you're an offensive guy or a defensive guy, you're not really paying attention to the special teams per se.
In other words, you're not in their huddle.
You're not trying to listen. Because usually after a special teams play, you're either going out in the field or you're coming off or whatever. And so when you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, I'm getting ready to run down here because we're punting this way. We're going to be down about the 20. I'm heading over there. And all of a sudden you hear boom, and you're looking, and you're jacked up.
Yeah.
You go, hey, instead of going that way now, I'm going that way now this time, you know.
Or I don't have to go out.
And a long way that way.
That's the longer, the better.
You
look around and guys get excited because, you know, it's unexpected. You know, you don't block a whole lot of kicks in a season. And the Dolphins have been fortunate. I think that's Terrence Fidey's second block of his career. You know, he's only been here a limited time. So you get excited about those plays. And number one, because you're going to get field position and you might get a scoop and score, and it might turn into a score itself.
Yeah, the other thing you don't see, you don't see on the special teams, you don't see very many safeties coming out of special teams.
No.
And somehow they came up with an opportunity. Two safeties in one game.
I know, it's amazing.
Pretty unbelievable. Good stuff, though.
First time in Dolphin history.
Yeah. Let's go. Robert Sandberg from Facebook. Was Gottschall injured or inactive? Both. What's the difference? Well, the reason he was inactive was because he wasn't. His knee was bothering him last week. Didn't practice. So rather than send him out there or dress him and not have him play,
get a healthy body.
Put him on inactive list. He doesn't have to worry about going out and doing anything. And you can put somebody else on the roster that's going to go out and give you 15, 20, 25 plays or however many plays, whoever took his place.
What Malvo ended up doing. You know, he ended up pressuring the pocket.
Yep.
You saw his number and you're going, who is that guy?
Yep.
And you know, you heard the announcement before the game, but he played his role really well.
He did. I don't know if he had any tackles, many tackles, but I know he was around the ball. I know he was pushing his guy back into the backfield,
That's right.
getting some pressure. He
He caught some errant throws in the pocket.
You could feel him coming from that side, right. no doubt about it. So he definitely did a good job. But, he was inactive because of Gotchaw was inactive because of the injury. Question from Periscope. I think we'll be ready to play prime time against the Patriots. Well, you go back and the Dolphins had three prime time games in
Can't
a row.
Can't play any worse
and really,
prime time.
Couldn't have played any worse. And I think every guy, I think there's enough pride in everybody on this organization and on this football team that you want to come out in prime time against the Patriots and say, hey, look, we may have stunk up the joint for 3 weeks, but we're going to come and show you guys that we're the real thing. And it's a great opportunity in your own backyard at Hard Rock Stadium in front of a national audience. You know the crowd's going to be behind you. I think it's a great opportunity. And I do think they'll be ready to play this week.
Do you know the only prime time game they can control right now?
Is the one that's coming up.
That's exactly right. Yep. So their sole focus is on the New England Patriots. So, yeah, I think, Bo, that they've got a great opportunity at home, at night, with a great crowd.
Yeah.
I just think that it's an excellent opportunity to make people not forget, but maybe move on from what has happened over the last month and a half on your primetime opportunities. Make this one count and make December something to look forward to for the Miami Dolphin fans coming down
John,
the stretch.
John, you saw the Gronkowski hit yesterday during the game.
I did.
I saw it this morning. Gronkowski, I'm not sure. I think those decisions come out on Tuesday.
I think
if there's going to be any penalty for it. I'm
just announced.
That. All right, just announced. Okay. Getting to that. So word's out, he just got suspended. He's suspended for one game, so Gronkowski won't play against the Dolphins.
I think our defense just got better.
I think our defense just did.
I really feel that. I think it just got better.
What do you have, two touchdowns up
in
New
England? The tight end position has been very difficult to defend, no matter who we've played. And, you take a look at games with him out of the game. I think Bennett's already on IR. Yeah. So you're down to your third guy and there's not a whole lot of depth there.
I'll say this though. The one thing I would say about New England.
Oh, they'll find somebody.
They're going to find somebody to make a play in
there. They may go more empty.
Yes.
And take that position out of the game a little bit more. Use their running backs. I mean, Burkhead's been used as a wideout, as a slot, as a running back, as a fullback. So they have options.
Yes.
I just think that the dominant big guy down the middle of the field, that when he is covered, is still open, may be out of their offense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And look, I think most guys like to play a team full speed. And measure yourself.
I'll
against
take him without Gronk.
But I'm fine without Gronk this week.
Too.
I'm fine because that guy is
pretty good.
Two touchdowns against the Dolphins a couple weeks ago, and when that guy's running down the field, man, he's just.
Well, did
a beast.
You see the matchups? It didn't matter if Rashad Jones was on him, and if you take a slightly bad angle, or you have Kiko or one of the other linebackers, if you're behind a step, or you take a bad angle, or you just don't. You're in zone and you think you're going to be able to cheat him.
Yep.
You just can't.
Yep.
He's that big and he's that agile and he has a catch radius is enormous.
Yep.
So, you're probably more thankful that he's not an option
he's out.
On Monday night.
He's out. So that's the way it goes. Hey, you're listening to the Audible here. It's sponsored by Sirius XM. Kimbo Camber, John Congemi with you. Argentina Alex from Periscope. After yesterday, you think they'll play more man coverage? Well, I think we got to see what Tankersley's what's going on with Tankersley.
That's right.
Tank's got that. He went
ankle,
down
with, shoulder
he had a
first.
Shoulder. Then he came back. Then he went down with an ankle. He was back in the game on punt coverage. Working on the Flyers. So he was out there running, which leads you to believe he'll be ready to go. But another thing has kind of emerged in that secondary. Bobby McCain's been playing extremely well.
And
when Tank
too.
Went down, they put him out on the perimeter.
That's right.
And he held up pretty well out there. So,
and Werner came in and did a pretty good job.
I think that had Bobby not been able to go out there and play as well and Werner was able to come in, I think they probably would have thrown Tank back out there. There was probably them say, look, let's let this guy heal up a little bit. We'll use them on punt return, but let's let these guys stay out there because they're doing a pretty good job out there at the cornerback and at the slot position.
And, Bo, it's another opportunity for your defense to experiment with guys. You know, how well Bobby can play. I mean, he's got to be able to be a man-to-man guy being in the slot. He plays really well off in zone when he's at the corner. And I saw him press three or four times outside when he had his opportunity. So I think that combination, you're probably better with – your true corner that's getting reps at practice.
Yep.
But let's see if Tankersley Number one, can he practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or can he practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday to get his reps in to be ready to play? And if not, you've got a test run in this game against the Broncos on what you can do mixing and matching between McCain and Verner.
And I thought that Xavier did a great job against Demaryius Thomas, played really well against him, knocked some balls down, got the two picks, got the pick six. So I think that, you know, I think X needed one of those games. He needed a game.
He needed to get his hands on the football,
and he needed a confidence builder that, hey, I can attack the football. I'm good enough player to attack the football and go after it and make some plays, you know, that way. Whereas maybe he was holding back a little bit prior, but I think that gives him a lot of good confidence going in, if they do call him, put him into man coverage over the next four games.
I think he took advantage of a throw that was slightly behind. And it's one thing to bat it down, but it's another thing to be in position to step in front of it and be able to take it to the house. And I think that's the difference between a guy that is emerging or a guy that's still a little tentative, would have maybe got a hand on the football, but instead he was challenging all day. He had a lot of passes that were broken up. I think he had five in the game, and then he steps in front right there. But at least he's in position to get his body in front of the receiver, take the football, get into the end zone. You know, most guys maybe get a hand on it, but when it's behind, you got to make the offenses pay. And he challenged all afternoon.
And you look, he's got good size, he's got good length, he does all he's got all the tools that you're looking for, and he kind of really put it all together for him yesterday. So good stuff, and I like the way the cornerbacks are coming around. Duke Dennis, how would you grade out McDonald and Jones since they've played together? Well, you know, Rashad's Rashad. I think Rashad continues to play well. I think T.J. McDonald, I think he's doing well. He got an interception yesterday. And I think he's, you know, he's kind of behind the eight ball because he's had a short period of time to try to acclimate with a new defense that, quite frankly, hasn't really had any time to work with other than the week prior to him getting his start up in New England because of the suspension.
I would say that McDonald was really good early when he came on the scene. And now there's been a couple of times, especially in the Denver game, there was a couple of times where he almost looked a little bit lost, like Tankersley not taking that X or Z receiver from one side of the field to the other. He was in zone. He wasn't sure if he was in zone, so he gave some ground, and there was some distance between the guy he was on and where he was supposed to be. But all in all, I love his aggressiveness. Yeah. I love the way he plays the position. I only think that that tandem's going to get better.
Yes.
And when they do, it's going to strengthen the way the Miami Dolphins play defense on the back end.
Everything, both from a passing situation, run support, because both of them are big and strong enough to go up there and run support, stick their nose up in the line of scrimmage and work that way. So, yeah, I think the more they work together, they're just going to be better and better and better. Periscope, Bowl 66. If Joseph loses his job in Denver, Vance Joseph, could we see him return to Miami? I don't know. That would be an odd situation. I think, you got Matt Burke running this defense. I don't know. If Vance came back, I don't know.
I don't see that scenario.
I just don't see it happening. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. You know, Denver, first of all, you know, it's tough to hire a guy for 1 year and then cast him overboard after 1 year. I don't think that's fair to anybody. I would like to see, I like Vance Joseph a lot. I'd like to see him get another opportunity at Denver and see if he can right the ship a little bit, find a quarterback out there that they can rely on and see what can happen under those situations. But if he does so happen to lose his job, I just don't see a return to Miami. I just don't see that being, a comfortable situation inside that building.
Well, even last year, it felt like it was maybe a 1 or 2 year fix.
Yes.
Because his name was being tossed around at potential hires all over the National Football League. So I just don't think that, number one, Denver's in a one-and-done situation with him. I think there will be changes around him, probably, not only to the roster, but, you know, anytime that you suffer eight in a row, there's going to be some movement, potentially with coaches. But I just don't know if that's the one and done type of business. When you feel like you hired the right guy, you want to give that a chance to play out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Cisco Malero, Facebook. Bo and John, am I the only one who thinks Cutler would make an excellent backup to Tannehill next season? Well, I wouldn't mind having Cutler as a backup, but I don't think he's going to work for less than $10 million.
No, I don't think the Dolphins are
going to invest $10 million in a backup.
The Miami Dolphins need to find a young quarterback that they believe in. Yes, they have Brandon Doughty on the practice roster. David Fales was dressed out as the backup yesterday. Matt Moore, his future with the injury, I don't know if he's going to be available this week or not. But the Dolphins have to – I wouldn't be surprised they go out and find a young guy to put on the roster, or they go out and draft a young guy, regardless of the status of Ryan Tannehill and what happens in 2018.
No, I think, you know, I'm not saying, okay, but if they were to declare right now that Ryan Tannehill is fit and ready to start working during the OTAs and everything, which I don't think he is, but if they were to say that right now, I don't think that would preclude the Dolphins from drafting a quarterback somewhere in the draft next year, because you're right. I think they've got to have somebody back there that's not a, you know, not a guy that's got maybe on his last leg, his last year, some young guy that may possibly be able to challenge him for a starting position.
Eventually, that's what you have to find.
Or be a guy that you can groom to be that guy that, you know, you keep looking at New England. I mean, New England groomed Garoppolo. They groomed, who's the other kid? The Brissett.
Yes.
Right. And then got paid for him. Sent him off to somewhere else where they can't play, and got paid for him by the way.
It's nice to have Tom Brady as your quarterback,
exactly.
Isn't it?
So, I mean, you know, you look at backup quarterbacks and you think about them stepping in and playing. But if you got a backup quarterback that plays a little bit and plays well, then they've got value for you in the trade market. And, especially in the middle of a season when you may need a little something. But I don't see Jay Cutler coming back as a backup. I don't see that happening at all.
I don't think so either.
All right, John, that's going to do it, my man.
Hey, thanks,
Paul. Great to be here for a win.
Victory Monday.
Hopefully we can have another one next week. It'll be a Victory Tuesday though.
There we go.
Next week if you do it. Want to appreciate you guys for following us here on the Audible. I want to thank SiriusXM for sponsoring the program. And we will be back on the air on Wednesday. Not sure where, not sure with who, but I can guarantee you this. Look at that. They even put the sign up for me there. SiriusXM. SiriusXM right there. We'll be back, and SiriusXM will be with us. We'll see you next time.